and a warm welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's win over Stranraer, preview the visit of East Fife this weekend, and there's our milestones for both Peterhead Football Club and ourselves.
Hi guys, Martin Johnson here. Delighted to hear that you're celebrating your 200th Blue Tune podcast. Quite remarkable considering the amount of restrictions you had initially getting up and running. As you know, I'm a keen advocate of hearing what the fans' opinions are, even though sometimes we don't like what you have to say. So good on you. I'm delighted that you've reached the 200 milestone mark, and here's to many more.
Hi guys, Scott Brown here. Just want to say congratulations on 200 episodes. I'm also really glad to see the club are starting to do really well again.
Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Tune Podcast, our 200th episode of the Blue Tune Podcast. We are in celebratory mood this week, passing this milestone. Myself, Colin Byers, as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. We've got the beers, we're ready to go. Nice wee milestone for us.
It is, yeah. Who'd have thought when we started out 5 years ago that we'd, you know, first of all, reach 100, never mind 200. So, yeah, no, it's been really good. And obviously we've had a lot of folk come on over the years as well. So you get delighted that we've managed to reach the grand number of 200.
First of all, obviously, how are you? How are things? All good this week?
Yeah, not too bad, even better after Saturday's result. What a difference a win can do in a weekend, eh? But yeah, I'm all good, yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Absolutely. Got soaked yesterday at the Bairns football. We're doing it cooter, howling a gale and soaking wheat. But again, another victory for them. So that was well worth the hours drive to get there. But yeah, so this is our 200th episode, as you said. August 2019, we started. Way back then, and you're right enough to think we've reached 200 is quite an achievement, and it sounds like we're sort of bigging ourselves up a little bit, but you know, a lot of things have happened in that time, a lot of restrictions obviously were put in place as well, that made it difficult at times, but we've persevered and carried on.
Oh my word, we've had some challenges. Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of podcasts that have come and go through the 5 years that we've been doing it as well. You know, we've seen them come and go, and then they've quickly gone as well. We've had COVID, we've had numerous different places to try and record, we've tried to face, then the COVID came, and then it's a case of, right, well, we need to get a set up to do over the phone, and yeah, there's been a lot of things that have been thrown in our way, and, you know, week in, week out, we've sort of batted them away. There has been other challenges, but yeah, I think to reach 200, as you said, we're not bigging ourselves up too much, but there's a lot of work goes on behind the scenes that maybe doesn't get quite realised when you're doing these sort of things, so yeah, 200, I think, is a fantastic achievement.
And in all honestly, did you think when we did the first one, we would be doing 10, let alone 200 or 50 or whatever?
No, because I remember we'd done about 4 or 5, and I think it was, I can't remember, it was one of the very early episodes that we'd sort of done it, we'd gone halfway through, and then we realised that things hadn't recorded properly, or we'd do it again, and there was something way back then, and at that point I thought, are we really going to persevere with this? But we have, and we've persevered at it, we've stuck at it. There's been things thrown at us all. When I work, when I stick, it doesn't happen at lower league football. But we've kept at it, and you know, here we are at number 200. But obviously that doesn't happen overnight, and obviously there's a lot of people to thank for coming on, supporting, listening, feedback. That's the only way we get to do these things. So yeah, once it got to number 10, you thought, well, we're maybe going to hit a bash at it, and then the week sort of rolling in, here we are at 200.
Yeah, it is, and it goes by pretty quick. Do you recall episode 1?
What, the title or doing it?
Just doing it. Any sort of memories of it?
I remember it sort of being, it felt quite formal at the time. It was almost like we're trying to be too professional. We wanted to make it be a success. Yeah, it would be interesting to listen back episode 1 to episode 199. I think there'd be quite a big difference. It's a lot more. We go with the flow now. There's very little editing as such in terms of our, you know, cutting bits out and here, there and everywhere. So, yeah, I'd imagine it's quite a big difference.
Well, funny you say that, because I've got a clip here of episode one. This is the very first link on episode one. So let's see if you can notice a difference.
Hello and welcome to the first ever Blue Team podcast, where we discuss all things Peterhead FC. Hopefully this is the first of many, so we'll see how it goes. My name's Colin Byers and I'm joined by Martin Smith. So Martin, kicking off last season, champions eventually.
Yeah, I was really pleased that we got promotion. We came close the season before with Montrose. Unfortunately, it wasn't to be on that occasion. Did really well last season. Obviously, as you mentioned, we got promoted. Hoping we could have done it in a home game against Stirling, but conceding so late into injury time was disappointing. But we bounced back from that. We eventually got promoted. And really looking forward to this season that we've got in League One.
So there we go. That is...
That was episode one.
That was episode one, and you look back on that now. That is that's pretty poor because there's like very little introduction. There's absolutely no personality to it at all.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. That's why I think to reach 200, I think we've come a long way as people as well, to be fair, in the way we look at games, the way we speak of it, and the way we try, not try and spin it, but the way we try and portray it to people as well, who maybe haven't been in the games. We've come a long way in the 200 episodes.
And to think that first 6 months that we started up, we had obviously Rory McAllister leaving, that was a big story. Then we had COVID kicking in as well. So there was a lot to sort of digest within that first few weeks, sort of first few months, thinking that, you know, we'd just come off the back of a promotion and a championship the season before. It would be pretty straightforward doing it, but we had a lot to kind of cover in that first 6 months.
Yeah, and then they decided that they were going to stop FITMA for a large period of time as well when COVID came in. Like you said, there's been certain things that have been thrown at us and obstacles in the way, but we've managed to overcome them. And here we are at 200, as I say.
We've done a lot of adapting, I guess, maybe is the right word. As you said, you know, we've had to adapt how we record them, how we do them. And in terms of the format that we do as well has changed. What we've put, the content we put has changed as well. Obviously, we've tried stuff. Some things work, some things didn't, but that's just a trial and error kind of thing as well. But obviously, the biggest thing is the audience participation, interaction that we get. A lot of the content comes from, you know, you guys that are listening, giving us your feedback on games, feedback on, you know, signings, etc. And we like to think we cover a wide range of opinions within the sport.
Yeah, that's the thing. Especially this season, I think the interaction has been a lot more. You can see that by the figures that come in, but obviously the interactions that you get in social media, you can see that increasing week on week. And yeah, we are, I wouldn't say we're the voice of it, but you see the comments coming in and you're able to put them across that everybody can hear it. There's a lot of people maybe listen to it that then I came of things like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and these social media platforms and maybe just want to listen to it in the car as they're going to work or whatever. So yeah, there's different ways that people interact with us, but that makes it a lot easier for us. And as we said, it's probably, I say it's for the people, but you know what I mean. Without their interaction, there's a lot less for us to comment on.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And as you said as well, we've been privileged to have a lot of people come on. You know, we've interviewed managers, players, former players, and all that comes from just really sticking at it. And you know, basically the first time we asked anybody to come on, it was more or less just a fishing expedition. Really, it was just a case of, do you want to come on? And rightly so, Scott Brown, I think, was the first one to come on. And after that, it was just a domino effect.
Yeah, pretty much. Once Scott had been on, I think he'd said he'd enjoyed it. And also he passed on a few other people that we'd asked. We've had a lot of no's. We'll throw that in the mix as well. But it's not just a case of you ask somebody to come on. We've had a lot of people say no, it's not for them. And you know, we appreciate their opinion as well. So it's for some people, it's not for others. And yeah, we've been really grateful and sort of been blessed by the people that have come on and given up their time to be here.
And we've had folk on that we wish hadn't been on either as well, but we'll name names for legal reasons as well. But yeah, no, I think we've gotten to a standard as well, at a point where we can sort of do this week in, week out, and it comes almost like second nature to us now as well.
Yeah, I think especially the first season, it was always not a thought to do it, but it was always one of them. You want to make sure you were doing a good job, so you want to make sure that all your facts were fact-checked, and there was a lot of research that went in for the Saturday game to the recording on the Monday. But now I think the information sort of sticks a lot better, it's clearer, and you can sort of most of the time remember the game on the Saturday. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing depends on the result.
Yeah, and I guess as well, when you look back at you know, difficult seasons that we've had, there's probably times where we thought to ourselves, do we really want to be doing this again? But you know, as I said, you sort of go through the difficult times to come through the other side and have, you know, a season like we're having.
Yeah, last season was tough, in the sense of, there's only so many weeks that you can come on and say that we've been frustrated and disappointed before it got to, I mean, some of the performances that we had last season, we just knew some of the players just weren't at the level that we needed, but you tried to give that back in as much as possible. There's people that go to the games as well, that they're watching it with their own eyes, and you cannot come on and say, oh, well, we're unlucky if you get beat 5-0. You know, you've got to call it as you see it. I think we've been critical at times when we've had to be, we've also given out praise where it's been, praise has been needed. And I'd like to think that we've been fair, and that's why it's sort of been listened to and we've stuck at it. But yeah, some weeks, especially last season coming on, it was difficult.
Any particular favourite episodes or favourite moments, funny moments, etc.?
I think my favourite ones have always been getting people from the club to come on, whether that being lately we've had Sharon come on, in the past we've had Martin Johnson. You know, and they give their insights. The club, we've had Roger on as well, just, you know, at COVID time, and he gave an update on the club. And I think just how well it's been received, you know, there's people within the club that have really been very approachable, and they've been able to give out information. I think for that point of view, the calibre of people we've had on, also we've had the likes of Simon Ferry, Scott Brown, Rory McAllister, Jason Brown, Jordan. We've had a lot of good guys on the podcast. And as I said before, we're very grateful that they've given up part of their time to come on and speak to us.
The one thing I do miss now that we do over Zoom, etc., is where pizzas we used to have
for recorded.
Order a pizza and then record, or have the pizza, or record then have the pizza. I can't remember what it was, but I do enjoy the pizza Tuesdays.
Yeah, that's right, and because it was a Tuesday, it wasn't often that busy, so you normally got the pizza pretty quick and you could record. But that was back when we used to record and you used to pause halfway through. But now it just says it is one take, it's either good or it's bad.
Yeah, pause halfway through because we're choking on our pepperoni or something like that.
Yeah.
So there we go. Saturday was a milestone for the club as well. That was the club's 1,000th game in the league, in all competitions, since joining the Football League back in 2000. It's a great wee milestone for the club. Obviously, it could have been a case where, you know, that milestone may not have been hit, you know, had they been unsuccessful in coming up. But, you know, they've done pretty well. And, you know, you look at the figures, 468 games for Jim McAnally. Almost half of those 1,000 games is under him. That comes as no surprise, really. But the win percentage for the club overall in those 1,000 games is 41.4%, 414 wins in those 1,000 games. You know, obviously taking into account as well, that's all competition, so you're taking into account the new restructures, League Cup, where, you know, it's very difficult to win games. You know, you're coming up against in Scottish Cup games as well. So it's a pretty decent record, that.
Yeah, it's a very good record. I mean, if you when you consider last season as well, the amount of defeats that, you know, got added to that record, Yeah, I think it's a terrific milestone, and a lot of good work was done by Jim McAnally in his tenure here as well, and it's put us in very good stead for the future as well.
Yeah, and it's a nice wee way to bookend it. You know, the first game was a 2-0 win against Montrose. The 1,000th game was a 2-0 win on Saturday as well.
Yeah, there's something quite symbolic about it. You start the first game a 2-0 win and you end with the 1,000th game being at a 2-0 win. Yeah, there's something pretty good about that.
And you look at the club as a whole, you know, we're on a pretty good footing. 1,000 games, take all the way back to Ian Wilson and Ian Stewart, you know, then coming through with Steve Patterson as well, Neil Cooper. All these guys laid the sort of foundations to where we're at now.
Some great names in that list as well, is there? You know, the Neil Cooper especially, yeah. A lot of good people that have been associated with the club, even over the last, you know, 15 years as well, with the playing side as well. There's some really, really good players that have come through the door. Some great coaches and, you know, even at board level as well. There's been a lot of changes within the club. But you know, the main thing throughout has always been the caliber of people that they've had working there or playing in whatever capacity. So yeah, a lot of really good people associated with the club.
Yeah, so look forward to the next 1,000 games here in the league, which, you know, if it's going to take 24 years, we might see that.
Fingers crossed.
So let's talk about Saturday's game against Stranraer. 2-0 victory, as we said. Pretty comfortable was my sort of takeaway from that game, considering how well Stranraer had played against us in the previous three games.
Yeah, I thought our first half was really good on Saturday. It was almost getting back to the sort of levels that we had in the first quarter of the season. We seemed to be very direct. I think the team that Jordan Ryan had selected sort of helped with that. going forward, I thought we looked dangerous at most opportunities. I do think that Stranraer sort of struggled, especially in the second half. I think the three games in a week sort of did catch up with them, as we've seen in previous with ourselves as well. But yeah, overall, I thought we were really good. It's a good win. As you said, I thought comfortable as well, and a clean sheet to boot. Defence played really well, really solid, and allowed the attacking players to go forward. Yeah, overall, a really good afternoon.
And there was five changes to the previous lineup. Out went McCarthy, McAllister, Wilson, Jordan Brown and Peter Pollitt. McAllister, Wilson and Pollitt obviously through niggles they picked up the previous week. Ryan Strachan came in, so did Alfie Stewart, Hamish Ritchie, Jack Brown and Conor O'Keefe. And you instantly, as you said, that first half, you saw the drive and the endeavour for Jack Brown in particular in that first half.
Yeah, we've said for a few weeks we've sort of been missing Jack and his creativity. I think he is one of them players, a bit like Hamish. When he gets the ball, you try and get these players that are very good footballers, give them the ball and let them go, and Jinky as well. And I do think the way that Ryan and Jordan lined up on Saturday allowed the team to have that freedom, especially Alfie Stewart as well. It was almost a case of, like, you get the ball to these guys and you let them do their work, and it worked out well for us. I thought we were really good that first half.
And the way we were set up was a 4-5-1 or 4-3-3, however you want to sort of look at it, maybe even a 4-1-4-1, because Alfie Stewart and Jack Brown, particularly in that central midfield, were getting so far ahead of Joe McKee in the middle there. It was a very attacking setup that we had, and I think you said it at the game on Saturday. Conor O'Keefe in particular had one thought in his mind, and that was just to take on the fullbacks, which is something we haven't seen an awful lot of in recent weeks.
Yeah, I think the crowd would sort of give you that impression as well. At times we get the ball and go backwards, and quite rightly so. At times you can hear the disgruntlement with the supporters. They want to see attacking football. There was a moment on Saturday as well, even at 2-0 up. I can't remember who it was, the ball and they played it back to Stuart McKenzie, and the grumbling got up, they wanted to see attacking football. I think, especially Jinky, first half, any time he got the ball, he had the beating of that defender all afternoon, to be fair to him. And his first thought was, how can I take him on? How can I get to the byline? And he had a couple of opportunities as well, a couple of crosses in, but nobody in the box. And I think it was good, especially Joe McKee, he just sat there. As you said, it was almost like a 4-1-4-1 at times, and allowed the rest of the players to go forward. I think sometimes sitting with two defensive midfielders at home, were too predictable and were sort of easy to play against. But on Saturday, I felt it was opposite. I don't know how Sean Rowe maybe expecting McCarthy to be playing. And that team selection, the guys selected, allow us to play, you know, that attacking football, like I said, that associated with us in the first quarter of the season.
Yeah, and Hamish Ritchie on the other side as well. He's nae got that pace is what Jinky has, but certainly does have the skills to take on his man, and with Danny Strachan helping him with the overlapping runs as well. I mean, at times we were getting so many men forward, it was just like a completely different look to the team.
Yeah, I think Jinky's got the pace on the left-hand side. Hamish, maybe he hasn't quite got the pace, but he's got that footballing brain, and especially when you've got Danny Strachan's ability to overlap on the right-hand side. We've said numerous times now, Danny can put in a really good cross. So when you've got the three of them and it's all working well, I think our attacking phase, especially from wide areas, is really good. Just at times, I don't think we do often enough.
And Jinky got the opening goal. Great pass by Hamish Ritchie to pick him out, a slide rule pass. It was a good finish, but I actually thought he'd overrun it. And I think to myself, he's 18 and shot on quick enough, but somehow manages to dig it out and chip it into the far corner.
Oh, it's a poor goal for him, is it? It's really poor. It's too close for him. I mean, some of the goals that Jinky scores is incredible. And that, hey, it's still a really, really good finish, because the ball could have gone anywhere. It's a calm finish. But by his standard, it's a poor goal, because it's inside his end half and everything. It's such a poor one. But no, in all seriousness, it's a good finish. Timing of the game as well. But the pass through for Hamish Ritchie was key. You know, I think at times we might maybe have played it back in the middle, but he's forward thinking, he split the defence, and Jinky, as we've said before, with his pace and behind, really good finish in the corner.
Yeah, it seems to be that Jinky's goals are getting closer and closer to the goal, but the next time he scores a goal, he'll be on the goal line for a tap-in or something. That's how bad he's getting with his goals, with his spectacular goals. But weirdly enough, that was Hamish Ritchie's first assist of the season as well. And you'd also kind of think back to him of being, you know, somebody who can open up defences and things like that. But weirdly, that was just his first assist. He's got 7 goals, but that was just his first assist.
He went through a purple patch, didn't he, in the first quarter of the season, where he was like the super sub, and he was, you know, everything he touched for a period of time, for like a month, was going in the back of the net. Maybe he hasn't got many assists. Obviously, he's just got the one, but he's great. He scored a few goals. But, you know, with the ability Hamish has got, I am surprised he's only got the one assist. Because he can unlock defences really, really well. He's got a fantastic left foot. And yeah, you're hoping he can chip in with a few more goals and assists towards the end of the season.
Alfie Shute had a huge chance to make it 2-0. A similar sort of position as to for Jinky scored his from, but I said on the day, I just wondered if he was kind of caught in two minds, whether or not he's going to cross it or take the shot on a little bit earlier, and sort of made the keeper's mind up. You know, he was able to close down the space.
Yeah, they probably caught in two minds, the way it came across. I don't think he really knew what he wanted to do. And as you said, the goalkeeper's able to narrow down the angle. The chance was gone. But that'll come over the years that he plays football. He'll realise how quick to make the decision. Just maybe one of them just came a wee bit too soon for him.
Next time he's in that position, he might just smash it in. Looking for a square pass. We did go 2-0 up, though. Kieran Shanks with a goal this time, a nice wee. It's been described as a cute finish from Shanks.
Yeah, it's a clever finish. He's not tried to do anything fancy, but you know, you could have tried to take a touch in it and blast it in, but it's a very, very clever little finish. He just, the weight on the part of the cross is there. He just needs to guide it into the right area, and he did just that.
And you know, he often, I think, unfairly gets criticised for Ney getting the goals, but I think that one just shows that the confidence is still there.
Oh, 100%. He's a goal scorer. I know he's gone through a bit of a patch lately for he hasn't scored many goals. But you always fancy him, give him a half a chance. And I mean, like a Saturday, well, I've always said it's a half chance for him, and he's been able to guide it into the bottom corner. And yeah, you can see his confidence coming back a wee bit more. He's had a tough period start of the year, just like the rest of the team has. But I think once Kieran gets that confidence back and he's scoring more goals, then the rest of the team will be confident as well.
And that's two goals now since he's got the new boots, so they're certainly starting to pay themselves off.
Well, we've seen the price of it. He's still got a few more goals before we can say they're paid off.
Depends on the size of his goal bonus, of course, but maybe that's...
Well, true.
Where they privy to that information. Second half, again, really positive. I can't really sort of recall too many chances for the visitors on the day. I think it was maybe the one save at Stuart McKenzie had, but apart from that, they were pretty quiet. Started positively again, and we had chances. Danny Strachan and Jack Brown and Kieran Shanks all had shots within a quick succession, all blocked by the Stranraer defence, and you just kind of wonder maybe if that was the start of it going the wrong way again, and we're not regretting not taking up one of those chances.
Yeah, at times we've come out in the second half lately when I've just quite been at the races, and 2-0 it's a dangerous scoreline in football, because the next goal can either kill the game or it brings it back to life. And I don't think at any point we really were under the cosh with Stranraer. I thought we defended really well. And as you said, a couple of guys had chances to... I think if we needed to kick on Saturday, we probably could have. But I think at 2-0, I think keeping a clean sheet was just as important as maybe scoring a third. And yeah, thankfully, we were able to keep a clean sheet. And yeah, everybody was happy at the end of the day.
Then the save for McKenzie came just after that. As I said, pretty quiet afternoon for him. A lot of the times it was catching practice for him, but he had to make the big save from Robertson, who was through in goal, made himself big and dispelled any chance that they could get a scoring.
Yeah, I think that was only their real chance, was it? Like you said, it was catching practice from McKenzie throughout the day. I just think the longer the game went on, I think you could certainly see the effects of Stranraer playing three games in a week. I sort of did tell. And especially they were making a few substitutions as well, which sort of killed the game. We were making a few subs at the right time as well. And yeah, I think at 2-0 we were quite happy to do it.
And I felt as though as well, once the substitutions were being made, I think that just kind of killed the flow of the game a little bit. Honestly, Stranraer were trying to make the changes to try and... turn the game in their favour. I just felt after that the substitutions were almost hindered the game a little bit, and that's when the substitutions were ready, because twice Stranraer had said that they were ready to make substitutions, the players hadn't even got their shirts on yet.
There was one point the referee blew for the Stranraer making a sub, and the subs were actually still behind the goals. It was a wee bit farcical at times, but yeah, and certainly there was periods of time it did slow the game down. But the fact that we were 2-0 up with a clean sheet as well at that point, obviously because they hadn't scored, I was quite happy that the game was sort of sizzling out, but it was just a wee bit stop start. I think it played into our hands, as you said. Stranraer were trying to make the changes to affect the game in a positive manner. We were making changes to ring the changes, freshen things up a wee bit. The game did become stop start, but I didn't mind it, to be honest.
It was a clean sheet, as you said, and I felt Caleb Goldie had a pretty good game. I think of the three that he's played now at centre-half, that's probably been his better one. And that could be a combination of him being comfortable or getting more comfortable in that position, and perhaps maybe having Ryan Strachan alongside him that day as well.
I think a bit of both. I think the Elgin game, obviously, is we all know it. Caleb struggled in that game, but I think on Saturday he really showed why we think he's going to be a really good defender. I still think his best position's at right back, but when you've got Danny Strachan ahead of you, I think you'll struggle to become a right back. So obviously you've been playing at centre back with injuries lately to Scott and Jason, but I think Ryan Strachan being there, helping him through the game, guiding him through, you notice more communication between the two of them on Saturday as well. So a combination of him maybe being more comfortable in terms of he's played there for a few weeks now, and Ryan coming back, I think the combination of them, both factors helped him out.
And it was, as I said, an attacking sort of midfield, two or three, however you want to classify Joe McKee. But with the Endeavour, Jack Brown and Alfie shooting there as well, there was obviously a lot of energy within that midfield. And that's something that we're obviously going to need between now and the end of the season.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think the drive that we had on Saturday as well, we're getting the ball and trying to drive forward. I think we need to see more of that. I think we have been a wee bit too easy to play against, especially our home games. I think it's pretty predictable at times that we're going to do. But on Saturday, I didn't think that was the case. I thought at times we slowed the game down when we had to, but we were also on the front foot, especially with Jinky on the left-hand side, got the beating of that defender. And yeah, I thought the performance was really good, and that's maybe something that Ryan and Jordan will look at going forward. Is it a case where we just have one holding midfielder rather than the two, especially in the home games? I get it, in the away games you're trying to be more disciplined and, you know, try and work your way in the games, but and especially the home games that we've got coming up, I think we need to be in the front foot, and yeah, try and get the points to, you know, secure the promotion playoff.
And it's a classic case, and I think it was mentioned in Jamie's post-match, that how difficult this league can be at times. You know, we went to Dumbarton, got beat by them. Dumbarton gets spanked by Stranraer, and then we can then go and beat Stranraer the very next game. To show you just how unpredictable it can be.
What was it, Stranraer? Sinishmuir 1, Clyde 6. Yeah. It just shows you top and bottom, you know, the run that Steny were on, or they have been this year. You know, and you get results like that. I think that's why anybody can beat anybody in the division, which is why it's important that you, especially your home games, that you try and win. And I do think that run just at Christmas time and early in January were home games against Forfar, and also went to Borough Briggs, you know, at that time as well. That'll be the games that you look back and go, the title race could have been a lot closer than what it actually is. But your home games are crucial, and that's why picking up 3 points is vital.
Yeah, so let's get some of your thoughts on Saturday's game then. Let's start with Rosie Cow. Well done, guys. You played a better game this week, and that's it's pretty straightforward. And she's certainly not lying anyway, because they did play a lot better.
Yeah, it's straight to the point and exactly true. It was much better performance. I think it was a performance that, you know, everybody in the club would have been looking for. You know, the wins in 2024 before the game on Saturday were sitting at 2. So I think it was a very important game, not only performance-wise, but also for getting the 3 points.
Peter Bruce, good win against a decent Stranraer team. Thought Danny Strachan deserved his man of the match. Conor O'Keefe and Kieran Shanks also played very well today. Andrew Jones, Danny deserved man of the match. Great finishes for the goals. Emma Strachan played really well in the first half. What a difference fast football made to the team. Need to keep going as went back to slowing the game down and passing back in the second half. Danny, a well-deserved man of the match. David Stormouth, for me, Ryan was man of the match. Was faultless today, had a fantastic game. Danny had a few errors early on, but settled down. Goldie is not at all or commanding enough to be a centre-back, but had a good game. Thought that was one of the best refereeing performances at home I've seen. Very fair to both sides. Danny obviously got man of the match. David saying there that he would have picked Ryan Strachan for his man of the match. Probably a few contenders for the man of the match, which, again, something that we probably haven't been able to sort of look at for a few weeks.
Yeah, I think most weeks lately it's been pretty predictable in terms of there's maybe only been one or two guys that have, you know, you'd have thought been man of the match. I think Saturday was different. I think there's an argument to say Conor O'Keefe or Kieran Shanks could have been up there for contention for man of the match on Saturday as well. So the fact that you've got somebody mentioning Ryan, you've got Danny, Jinky, and you've got Kieran, you know, don't forget Jack Brown as well. You know, his drive and enthusiasm makes a big difference as well. So a few contenders, and it is good.
Okay, Jinky obviously getting a goal and an assist as well, so that obviously gives him the sort of nod. One of the best refereeing performances at home, he says as well. And I'd have to agree. I think the referee was pretty good. I think he's probably the better one that we've had. I'm not saying we're ever going to get a 10 out of 10 referee here at all. I mean, there's obviously got to be some errors or things he's going to miss. But by far, one of the better ones that we've had this season.
Yeah, we mentioned that on Saturday. I'm trying to remember what it was. He played an advantage, he tried to let it go, and then he brought it back, rightly so. And it was just one of them, you thought most referees would have blown and they given a second thought about it. I thought he was fair, to be fair to him. His refereeing performances go, I can't remember anything, you know, really that bad. So that sort of tells you that he's in a decent game. He spoke to a few players as well, which at times you just see referees brandishing yellow cards and the players are told to get on with it. It felt like he was communicating more with the players, trying to earn the respect. And yeah, thought the referee was pretty decent on Saturday.
Finish up with Graham McLean. Jack Brown, a bundle of energy throughout the midfield. Joe controlled the middle area well. My only negative would be Kieran's willingness to go to the ground easily. He's a strong lad who is more than capable of maintaining his composure and drive onwards rather than going to ground for a cheap foul. Be more confident in your own abilities and keep upright and punish their attempts at a foul with a goal. It's something that we sort of touched on last week or maybe the week before in terms of maybe the reputation that Kieran seems to be picking up. We've just praised the referee of how well he played the game. Perhaps maybe one or two times he maybe missed a Kieran going down. Has Graham got a point there, or is he maybe being a bit overcritical?
I think he's got a point. It would be fine to see Kieran sitting his feet more. He certainly didn't do that at the start of the season, but I think he feels, I don't know, I can't speak for Kieran as such, but he maybe does feel aggrieved that he didn't get free kicks that he should. He's maybe trying to make it more exaggerated so that the referee notices, but it's going against him. I do think the reputation, does it stick with him? I think he's maybe, it sort of goes back to the Roland McAllister situation when he got sent off. I think referees will probably think they were an easy target for strikers looking to go to ground. Mm. I think the referees got to look at it and sort of think, well, there is a foul there. I think at times players are punished for trying to stay on their feet and then they didn't get the reward for it. If you trip a defender, he goes to ground and he immediately gets a free kick, you know, from the trying to defend. So it'd be fine to see him staying on his feet more, punish him with goals and, you know, do your talking that way. But at times I do think he deserves free kicks that he probably doesn't get.
But I do think as well sometimes he does get battered from pillar to post during the games as well. And there are the occasions where he did stay on his feet when you think he maybe should have gone doing there as well. But we said before, he's a totally different player to what Rory McAllister is. Obviously, Rory's a bigger lad, stronger. He's more than capable of holding the ball up. Sometimes when Shanks is up there on his own, it's a little bit different, and we're maybe playing balls into him, and he's already got, you know, we should say kind of like a Sean Crichton, for example, or Scott Robertson on Saturday. These big lads that will just almost bully him during the game.
I think Kieran's game's much better when he's not getting involved in the fouls and the niggles. I think defenders will soon get tired of him, you know, skipping past him or, you know, being a nuisance. I think he's much better when he's focused on trying to score goals rather than potentially try to, dare I say, buy free kicks. I mean, there's a lot of them are warranted that he doesn't get. But rather than try to go for a tit for tat and try and get free kicks to the referee, you know, get yourself that yard of pace, get away from the defender, and, you know, try and score a really good, like he did on Saturday, pulled away from the defender, got a nice flick on it, and, you know, the ball's in the back of the net. More of that would be very pleasing.
And that's the thing, his game is trying to find the space within that defence, and if he's playing on his own, I think it's much easier for defenders to pick him up, especially if we're playing the long balls to him. Whereas if we've got, so say, somebody alongside him, or if we're playing through the midfield, he can sort of drift into areas that the defenders don't want to go into.
Rory McAllister's game is probably winding up defenders and, you know, try to bring fouls and draw players out. That's not Kieran's game. He's much better when he's focused on scoring goals and trying to get that yard up, you know, a yard of space in and around the box and be in a position to take a shot on or get a flick on or something. They're two completely different strikers. But you can see the things that Rory's potentially trying to pass on to Kieran, to trying to win fouls and free kicks in the advanced areas. But to me, outside Kieran's game, he's much better if he's focused on scoring goals and helping the team out in that sense.
And weirdly, I think for the first time in a wee while, results went our way on Saturday as well. Stenny drawing again. Dumbarton losing as well. So all in all, it was a pretty positive afternoon for us.
Yeah, results went our way. We won 2-0. We kept a clean sheet. Performance was good. The bench was a lot stronger on Saturday as well. Players coming back from injury. I think there's a lot to be positive going into the last quarter of the season.
And so we're into the last quarter already. We started off with a victory. And it's interesting that Jamie, when he was doing his post-match, had basically said that their thought process now is it's a clean slate, this 9 games, it's a clean slate. Forget about the previous 27 and just focus on this 9 and focus mainly on securing the second place.
I thought that was an interesting comment to come away with, because do you remember Jim McAnally used to do that quite a lot? break the season up and he'd look at it in, you know, sections of 9, and he'd always try and, you know, set targets. And I think that's exactly what he's doing, you know, Jamie's doing with Jordan and Ryan. And that's exactly what they need to do. They've started off this quarter very well. Results went to our way. It'll give us confidence, and hopefully that's a springboard for the next 8 games.
So we've got another home game on Saturday. This time it's Dick Campbell's East Fife that will be making the trip north. I think this is going to be a test for us, because since Dick Campbell took over back in February, they're unbeaten in 5 and having won 3 games and drawn 2. You look at the previous results, we're unbeaten against them, 2 wins and a draw, having come back from that day. 2-0 doing back in January. So I think this one will be a bit of a test for us.
Yeah, the experience of Dick Campbell going up against the youth of Ryan and Jordan, see who comes out on top. I think it'll be an interesting battle. I think East Fife will try and make the game very difficult for us. I think it'll be Dick Campbell's sort of mentality. He'll want to try and ruffle things up a wee bit, because I think he knows that we're a good side. He doesn't know what he'll win. He'll want us to get up to a fast flow and sort of football like we did against Stranraer, especially the first 20 minutes. He'll try and disrupt us a wee bit. They'll try and work their way in the game. And yeah, he's an experienced campaigner. He's been around the block. He'll know exactly what he's doing.
Not really surprised too much that he's managed to turn them around a lot. I mean, it's not that they were particularly poor, I don't think, but I just think the expectations certainly at the start of the season for the East Fife supporters were that they should be in and around the playoffs at the very least, and obviously didn't get off to a great start under Greg McDonald. But since Dick's gone in there, he's obviously turned things around, and it's no surprise that they've turned things around a little bit.
They've got a few good players, especially in the attacking areas. I think they are a threat. I think the players that are there, they probably should be doing better than what they have done. As you said, they didn't get off to the greatest of starts. Now that Dick Campbell's come in, he's been able to try and change a few things system-wise as well. So, yeah, I think certainly it'll be a good game. I think it will be two teams, especially if they're, you know, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I think both teams, depending on the score, will try and be more attack-minded. I think Dick Campbell will try and weather the first period and then you know, build from there. As I said, he's a professional that's been around the block quite a bit, so he knows what he's doing. But I'm looking forward to the battle between him and, you know, Jordan and Ryan.
Yeah, and the thing is as well, I think they'll be looking at trying to, you know, almost sneak into the playoffs. The gap is 6 points at the minute between themselves and Dumbarton, and obviously traditionally Dumbarton seem to falter towards the end of the season, so they'll obviously still have hopes to break it into that playoff spot.
Yeah, and East Fife will probably look at Dumbarton's last couple of results, getting beat heavily by Stranraer, they winning again on Saturday, so they'll maybe think that they've got a chance. Whether they think that can start by coming into Balmoore and winning, who knows. I think confidence will be reasonably well in their camp. Obviously, we're coming off the back of a really good performance on Saturday, and we'll be looking to build on that as well, or maybe focusing a wee bit on East Fife. But I think the players that we've got at our disposal now, we look solid. Our bench is getting stronger as well. And we've always said that once we get players back from injury, that you know, we try and kick on again. We've got the win against Stranraer. It was the first of the last eight games. Yeah, hopefully we can build on that and start to win another win.
And you mentioned players coming back. Well, Jason Brown was on the bench. Whether or not he was fit enough to come on, I don't know. Maybe it was just a case just to fill the bench up a little bit. But did a lot of running at the half time. And I wonder maybe if he's going to be close to maybe playing some kind of part of the game on Saturday.
I wouldn't be surprised if he comes on at some point in the second half, maybe the last 15, 20 minutes, depending on what the score is and how the game's gone. He did a lot of work, a lot of running on Saturday. I personally didn't see him at half-time kick a ball. Whether that was planned or not, I don't know. But yeah, hopefully he's back. He's such a key player, you know, the leader at the back, the communication. We've missed that, I think, in recent months as well. Just somebody being as vocal at the back. Yeah, it'd be good to see him back in the pitch. Hopefully he's back maybe Saturday, if not, maybe the week after.
Possibility that Rory might be available as well. Pollock might be back to full fitness as well. Selection problems again for the two managers, but that's exactly what you're looking for. There is an argument then about if it's a winning side, then I change it. But you know, I guess that they'll be looking at trying to keep the team as fresh and trying to keep the momentum going as much as possible.
Yeah, I don't think you need to change a winning team. I think it would be quite the thing that gets to the hour marking. You're bringing on players like Peter Pollock and Rory McAllister to be able to try and change the game. I think they're crucial players to take off the bench. If aim broke, I don't think you need to fix it. We won 2-0, we played really well. You ask the question again, did Andy McCarthy then come back? If not, it'd probably be the strongest bench that we've had, you know, in years for players to come on. If you're, you know, Jason Brown, you've got Andy McCarthy, Peter Pollock, Rory McAllister, a wealth of experience and talent sitting on your bench to come on and change the game should you need it. But I think the players that played on Saturday deserve that chance to go again.
And as I said, having played them three times already this season with two wins and a draw, it would be nice to finish off this one, or sort of finish off the season against East Fife, you know, going unbeaten against them.
Yeah, a team that were sort of tipped to be there or thereabouts for the championship. If you go four games in a season unbeaten against them, you would think you're going to have a very good season yourself, and I think that will be the case. I don't see any reason why we can't win the game on Saturday. As I said, played well against Stranraer. We've got players coming back from injury. A lot of players are looking sharper now. And now that they've got that confidence, again, confidence is a massive thing in football. We've noticed that over a year watching it. And you could tell that the confidence was there, especially in the second half, it being 2-0 up. Clean sheet will help out Caleb Goldie and Stuart McKenzie do their confidence world of good. And yeah, looking forward to the game Saturday.
And it'll be interesting to see how we deal with Nathan Austin. Obviously, 13 goals he's got now for the season, third highest scorer in the league. And you know, his experience, he will want to try and do, if we go with the same back four as maybe Elgin did a couple of weeks ago, and you know, try and stick to Caleb Goldie as much as possible. And that's where you're looking for the experience of Ryan Strachan to maybe try and help him out. But as we said earlier, Caleb seems to be growing in confidence and maybe will looking to take that battle head on.
Yeah, he might approach it different to what he did the Elgin game. You know, I think he did struggle. It was pretty well known. Nathan Austin, he's a different sort of player. He'll make things difficult. That's when you're looking, as you said, for Ryan to try and help him through the game. They might change it and put Davey Wilson back in. Jason Brown, I'm not quite sure, obviously, with Akin, if he's got to be able fit enough to start, that might be an option as well. So yeah, there's a lot of different things that can happen, but I feel like Caleb's now maturing in that centre-back role. Obviously he's played there a few weeks. I think he's now getting an understanding of it. He's now been playing right-back, centre-back, and chopping and changing. And yeah, he might relish coming up against Nathan Austin as well, try to keep him quiet, third top goal scorer in the league, as you say. Be interested to see if Farkham's out on top.
Gents, how you doing? It's John from Falkirk Daft. Congratulations on getting to 200 episodes. Hopefully we can reach that milestone at one point. It's been great working with you guys last season, having you on our podcast. But hopefully we don't speak to you in some time. You guys will hopefully get up to League One this season and we'll hopefully be in the Championship. But listen, brilliant work, great podcast, and all the best for the next 200.
Hi, Colin and Martin. Michael from TNTMY here. Congratulations on the 200 episodes. Hopefully Peterhead get back in League One and hopefully Dunfermline Athletic don't join them. All the best.
Right, now it's that time again on the Blue Team podcast to delve a little bit more deeper into Saturday's game. Joining me to discuss the East Fife side of things is Gordon Henderson. Gordon, welcome back to the Blue Team podcast. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. Thanks for having me. Hopefully I'll be a little bit more upbeat than I was last time I was on.
Yeah, I'm guessing things are more on an up, more positive since the change of manager.
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone recognised it as a pretty good appointment, and I think most or all fans were pretty excited by it. Five games since that Campbell and his team have come in, undefeated, three wins, and suddenly we're closer to the promotion playoffs than the relegation playoffs, so cannot really complain.
Before we get too much, get more into the appointment, Dick Campbell, I want to talk to you about the previous game between two sides, 2-2 draw. It finished down the road there, 2-0 up. You guys were going pretty well throughout the game and looking as though you were going to get the victory. Two late goals from us, that was obviously a bit of a sickener for you. How did you sort of see that game?
Yeah, obviously, the way it went, I think we were up 2-0 and looking very comfortable. So you think, you know, this is going to be a pretty good win. Bit of a sickener the way it went. Obviously, I think from what I remember over the piece, it probably felt fair in the end. I think we kind of fell out of the game and Peterhead very much sort of grew into it. But obviously a sickener to lose the lead, but yeah, probably fair in the end.
Is that game perhaps maybe sum up East Fife's season up to that point? Maybe, you know, spells doing well, but then not sort of hanging on to games that you've maybe should have won.
I think that's probably fair. You know, we've had spells where we look like a decent team. We've had a few really good wins over the season, but just not been able to get much consistency, and I think what I obviously betrayed as well was maybe a wee bit of kind of mental softness almost. You know, it took, you know, when you're trying to hang on to a win and maybe you're facing a team that's kind of up in the energy levels a wee bit, we've kind of crumbled there. So I think that's probably, you know, a big part of our season up until recently.
So was the change of manager, was that coming? Did you feel it coming, or did it come as a bit of a surprise?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the way results have been this season and a bit, you know, quite a bit lower than expectation, I think it's something people were talking about. And there was a bit of a feeling that, you know, and I think it was always, unless things improve in the next wee bit, then we kind of, you know, got a bit of a decision to make. You know, Graham McDonald, the previous manager, I think he kind of said on occasions before that if he didn't think he was the man to turn it around, if he didn't think he could turn it around, then he'd walk away and let the club get someone else in. And I think we had a game at Elgin where we got beat. We were very, very poor. I mean, we were lucky to get away with a 1-0 defeat. And he's obviously kind of, that's been the point for him. And he's thought, nah, I'm not turning this around. So fair play to him for kind of taking that decision, but I think, yeah, I felt it was coming.
And you got Dick Campbell in. Was that a surprise appointment, or was it maybe one that, because he'd left Arbroath and, you know, given his location, etc., that was probably the number one target?
I think I'd heard, there was a lot of talk about it. You know, I think pretty pretty quickly after he left our both. There was a sort of a lot of rumours that he would be interested in managing East Fife, and obviously when Greg McDonald left, there was a lot of talk about that. I think I wasn't really sure whether that was wishful thinking on our part or whether there was some truth to it, but it all got done pretty quickly. And I think, fair play to our board. I think that was a pretty ambitious appointment and one that nobody's got any complaints with.
And they were pretty swift to act as well, weren't they?
Yeah, it happened really quickly. I think Greg McDonald resigned on the Saturday evening, and I think Dick Campbell was in by the Tuesday. So I know that he'd been kind of attending a few of our games, so it was obviously something he was kind of interested in beforehand, and I think once his interest was known, and I think we've just gone for it.
And because obviously he's joined after the window's closed, he's obviously inherited the same players, but as you mentioned earlier on, five games unbeaten, three wins, two draws. So what has he done? What has he changed? Maybe the right way to then get these results.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, it's obviously not no real significant changes in personnel. And I think if you look at our lineups, it's not like we've done anything drastically different with the shape. I think a couple of things that come through pretty clearly. We look like a team that's a bit more motivated, a bit more up for it, kind of working hard. And for whatever reason, at times this season, it's felt like we've not quite been able to get to that. And I think another thing is we look like we're trying to play, a little bit more simply. Nothing too fancy, a little bit more direct. And it just feels like that's kind of paying off for us. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether we were trying to be a little bit fancy before. I know there's been comments from players at times saying that they weren't really sure what they were supposed to be doing. And I think probably what they've done is just kind of stripped it back a little bit to basics and just let the guys concentrate on, doing their job and G'ing them up a wee bit. I think that's been the difference.
As you said earlier, you're up to the fifth of the table now. I think 6 points behind Dumbarton, a team you beat on Saturday, which obviously is quite a significant result in terms of trying to catch that playoff spot. How big a win was that then on Saturday for you?
I think that was, in terms of, we've always been in this two minds, well, mostly one mind this season, which is just no finishing 10th. And after recent results, we started to look at it like, well, we're 9 points behind Dumbarton. If we beat them, then it's six. And then then it maybe starts to become realistic. Mm-hmm. In terms of getting the top four, I think a win was absolutely vital. I think 9 points in 8 games is just a wee bit too much. 6 points is still tough, but it starts to become doable. So I think going 6 points behind Dumbarton, and then, we're 12 points ahead of Clyde now. That's it done. They're never going to catch us. So Saturday felt like a really, really big win, because I think a draw there, and you still fancy Dumbarton pretty heavily. But a win kind of keeps us alive for fourth spot. And I think, just kills any kind of lingering fear of relegation.
Yeah, and we were saying earlier on when we were recording that it seems to be that Dumbarton have this tradition of sort of falling away second half of the season. And for them being top four for so long, and you guys can somehow catch them, that will be another blow for them.
Yeah, I mean, I know I've been reading what their fans are saying on Pine Bovril, and although you might you look at the league table and you think, yeah, you have been in the top four all season, it's not that bad. They're obviously not happy, and I think part of that is, like you say, they arguably should have won the title last season and collapsed. Mm-hmm. They should have been home and dry for the playoffs this season, and they're wobbling. So yeah, obviously not happy about it, but it gives us a little bit of hope.
So what's your expectations for Saturday's game then? Are you expecting another positive?
I think going in with confidence. I think we've talked about this before, that games between the two sides are always tight. So, I never go in a game up at Peterhead thinking, oh yeah, we're going to win this one. I think I'm, talking about this, almost looking at the next three games we've got, which is away to yourselves, and then we're home to, I think it's Stranraer and Elgin. So I think a few people have said this is like, if we get 7 points out of those three, I think we'd close the gap on Dumbarton. So I'm kind of looking at it like, you know, if we come up there and get a point, I think we'd take that. Probably one of our more difficult games we've got left. So I think if we can get something, we know Dumbarton are away at Spartans, so you know, decent chance they won't win at least. That's probably a decent result. I think we view that as.
A man we've mentioned a few times over the course of the season between two selves is obviously Nathan Austin. 13 goals I think he's got now in the league this season. He's obviously going to be the main threat again on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think he looks like he's really grown into the season. Part of that was potentially kind of recovering from a bit of an injury. He's kind of playing. You know, he's playing up top on his own at the moment, but he's got players around him, and maybe that's bringing the best out of him. But you know, he's looking really good at the moment. Two goals against Dumbarton, and you know, aside to those two goals, a really good performance, potentially his best of the season. So he looks like he's really coming out in form at the right time for us, and I think there's no doubt he's our main goal threat.
When you're coming to places like Balmoor, as you will be on Saturday, is that confidence has obviously grown under Dick Campbell? Is there, with that confidence, is the expectations maybe slightly grown as well?
I think it no doubt has. We were doing our own podcast last night, and we're giving our predictions. Do we think we're going to get top four? And I think we all said yes, and then immediately said, that's mental. You know, a few weeks ago, we're worried about finishing 10th. So the expectations are absolutely grown, and I think that's just, you know, that's always going to happen. But I think, to be fair, this game in particular, the feeling amongst us was pretty much, yeah, this will be tough. And, you know, if we get a point, we're not going to be too disappointed with it. Obviously want to go and target the win, and, you know, the confidence of the last few results kind of builds that up. But I think trying not to get too far ahead ourselves and thinking we're going to win every game, because it's easy to get carried away.
But it just shows you what a change in manager can do for a team. Obviously, you guys are doing pretty well. Elgin have obviously benefited for their change at a manager as well.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I mentioned the Elgin game a few weeks ago when we went up there, and early in the season, I thought Elgin were potentially the worst team I've seen this year, and total change in them a few weeks ago. And again, it was just one of these things. They just, you know, their work rate, their organisation was top notch, and you feel like if you've got that, you know, if the players have got confidence and they're working hard for each other, then you're going to be a hard team to beat. And it feels like, yeah, themselves and us, you know, that's been a change, and you see the difference it makes in terms of points, definitely.
And will we expect a few East Fife supporters up on Saturday then?
Hopefully, yeah. I think there was talk, it's a wee bit closer, but last time we were away to Spartans, I had mentioned that they were potentially needing a second bus, which we've probably not needed very often this season. Obviously a long journey, but I think we usually take a decent queue up there. I think people like these long journeys, and you know, it's easy to make the decision to go when you've won a few games. So.
Yeah, it's always easier to go on the back of, you know, like a win on Saturday rather than another defeat, I suppose.
Oh, definitely, and a last minute winner. I think that might have clinched it for a few people.
Well, it's been great to talk to you over the course of the season. I know, obviously, that after the first game between the two sides, when we sort of battered you 3-0 down the road there. Obviously, our seasons were going in different directions, but it's funny how, you know, over the course of a season, how things have changed, and you know, you've come on here almost sort of depressed at times to now, you know, being full of expectation again.
Yeah, this is it. This is football. You're up and you're down, and it's pretty extreme. So,
yeah. Gordon, pleasure to talk to you. As I said. Hopefully, we're not talking again next season. If not, if we are, hopefully we'll maybe both, obviously we can't both go up, but we'll maybe course of a cup tie or something like that. But no, pleasure to talk to you over the course of the season. And, you know, I think you'll maybe well pip Dumbarton to that fourth place, you never know.
We'll see. Thanks for having me on, really enjoyed it.
Hi, it's Keith Gibson here. I just want to say a huge congratulations to the Blue Toon podcast on reaching our 200th episode. It was great being on a couple of years ago, just reminiscing about the times at Peterhead, which were amazing. And here's to another 200 episodes. Cheers, guys.
Hi, folks. It's Kieran here from the Wasp's Nest podcast. Just a quick message to say congratulations to the Blue Toon on reaching 200 episodes. Hope to see you guys back up the league soon and we can get our games together against each other once more.
So that's episode 200 in the bag. Looking forward to the next milestone. First of all, I'd like to thank Gordon Henderson for coming on to preview Saturday's game against East Fife. Obviously, there's a shed load of people that we could thank for being a part of the podcast over the past 200 episodes. Myself and Martin, we obviously were the sort of main ones, but it's you guys that listen, you guys that that keep us going. So as ever, keep your comments and questions coming in. We do appreciate it. Obviously, the club as well. Have been fantastic to us as well over the piece, and without their sort of cooperation as well, most of this wouldn't be happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one of the main ones, you know, there's heaps of people to thank, and you can name drop everyone, but right at the very, very start, Martin Johnson, I think we were like two or three episodes in, and we were invited into a meeting for the club. And we were a wee bit apprehensive, we won't lie, it was one of them, it could go either way, we're either going to get tilt, no, you can't do it for various reasons. It was the complete opposite. Martin was very open, exchanged numbers, and it was very much a case of lift off from there. Scott Brown was the first person to come on as well to the podcast from the current playing team of that season, and it's gone from strength to strength. And I think the relationship with the players, and the staff and everyone at the club is probably in a better position now between supporters and people associated with the club. It's very much, on the face of it, there appears to be very little divide. And, you know, I think when you bring everything together, it's a very good place to go and watch your football. And hopefully we can see a successful team this season as well.
Yeah, and on a personal point of view, I just want to thank my long-suffering wife who sees me disappear into the spare room on a Monday and they come out until later on, and sometimes on a Sunday as well, because obviously you'll be surprised to hear we didn't just throw this together. There's a lot of sort of work that goes into the background as well, but I also appreciate and thank her for her support and just kind of believing in me to carry on and keep doing these kind of things as well. And like we say, behind a great man, there's always a great woman, and that's exactly what I've got. So big thanks to her.
Yeah, she allows you to come on and enjoy your Monday nights with me, yeah? If it mayor could you want.
I like the way you said allow.
Well, exactly. We both need permission to be able to do this, but yeah. Without people around us to support us, you know, it makes us very difficult to try and put together. So it's nice to throw together. There is a lot of work that goes on in the background. At times it doesn't maybe come across as seamless as we try to make it, but yeah, there's a lot of work goes on in the background.
And as I said, you guys have been great to us as well. We do enjoy being at games or even just in the streets. People come up to us and saying how much they enjoy listening to it, and giving us the feedback and giving us ideas and et cetera. So, you know, long may that continue. There's not much else to say, but here's to the next milestone. We'll be back again next week, as ever, probably without the beers this time. We'll maybe try and eat a little bit more sober. But, you know, until then, stay safe and we'll see you very soon. Cheers.